Hello everyone, and welcome to another Windows 7 webcast here at Channel 9 Studios. Today with me, Stefan, and we're going to talk a little bit about Windows 7 new taskbar, a little bit about the design iteration and design process that went from taskbar in Windows Vista into what it is today in Windows 7. Stefan, you want to introduce yourself a little bit?
Yeah, my name is Stefan Hufnagels, and I'm a designer for the Windows 7 desktop experience. And that includes features such as the taskbar, the start menu, and also features like arrow peak and arrow snap as well.
Cool. So I think we all know what is Windows 7 taskbar. We have seen it at the PDC keynote. We've seen it at the other Channel 9 videos that we have shot in the previous. And today we're going to talk a little bit how the taskbar evolved. What are the design iteration? What are the first prototyping that we had? And the first thing that Stefan and I want to show is something that I find very very cool, I think. It's very eye-picky, called the bat signal, right?
Yes, so, bat signal, yes.
So what is the bat signal?
The bat signal is an early prototype that we explored when we were thinking about the Windows 7 taskbar. So let me step back first for a minute. So, you know, early in the Windows 7 design process, we thought, you know, maybe we could do something with the taskbar. So we thought, you know, what is the taskbar really all about? You know, and you know, one way to look at the taskbar is basically to see it as a remote control for your windows, right? Your windows could maybe obscure one another. You know, you might not see a certain window, but the taskbar always has one button per window and allows me always to get back, you know, at any point in time, whether a window is minimized or hidden or whatever, to get back to the right window. Now, in the Vista taskbar, we surface a bunch of cues to help the user find the right window. We kind of surface icons, as you can see here in the bottom. We surface text, a little piece of text, and also one thing we added in Vista is thumbnails as well to help you just give you a little picture to make it easier to find the right window.
But right. Well, a little bit, they're kind of small. And
yes, yes. There are certain issues with it. And, you know, one thing that we wanted to do is for Windows 7 is, you know, what if we could increase the confidence for the user to help them be more confident to find the right window. And for that, we really thought a lot about a lot of different interaction models. And when I say we, I'm talking about a feature team. And the feature team, you know, it's a set of people. Consists of different disciplines such as program management, development, test, but also design, user research, and all those disciplines. So we had a lot of discussions. Basically, we did a process of a lot of brainstorms. We did a lot of whiteboarding. We did sketching. We did mock-ups. But also one thing that we did specifically for the taskbar is prototyping.
Cool.
And especially iterative prototyping. So we would take little pieces and just make small prototypes to explore certain ideas. So and bat signal is one of those prototypes.
Right.
So
let's see it.
Yeah, well, first I'm going to show you the Vista taskbar. So I have a bunch of windows open here on my desktop. And you'll notice that I have two Notepad documents open. And both of them don't have a name. And my scenario is now I actually want to switch to the right Notepad document. They're different documents, and I'm going to switch to the right one. Now, just looking at the top-level taskbar, I really don't have enough cues to help me find the right window.
Right.
They both have the same icon, and they both have the same text. So I'm going to try to go to the thumbnails, right? So I see a little thumbnail picture here for this document, and I see a little thumbnail picture here for this document. Now, sometimes definitely, you know, the thumbnails are very useful, you know, maybe here in this situation where I have very clear pictures that are easy to recognize. You know, web pages definitely usually are very visual and allow me to really pick the right window. But in this particular case, for Notepads, both of them just sort of look like white squares, right?
Look the same.
Exactly. Like I still don't know which one is the right window.
Right.
So what I would do is just click both of them and then kind of see which is the right one and pick the right one.
You got 50% of chance of being
exactly.
Right?
Yes. So we wanted to increase those odds. So Bat Signal is a prototype that explores that. So it's a real code prototype, so you can see it running here in the system tray. It was done by one of our developers. Now, the kind of the premise of Bad Signal is, what if we didn't show thumbnails for the windows, but what if we would just show as much of the real window as we could possibly can? You know, maybe even show the real window. So now, we're running this prototype, I'm just going to move my button to the notepad buttons, and where in Vista I would get a thumbnail, now in Bad Signal I will actually get something else. I get, you know...
You get the Bad Signal.
Exactly. Yes. So, you know, as you can see, my screen dimmed, and we're actually linking the real window, a preview of the real window, to the real taskbar button. You know, we're completely sidestepping the thumbnails. So we're giving the user a full-size preview, and now I can actually see one window has foo and the other window has bar, so I can clearly, you know, differentiate between my windows and click on it to switch it. So we're really surfacing, you know, the real window position, the real window size, as much cues as possible to help the user switch to the right window. You know, you'll notice, for instance, that these windows are actually in completely different places on the screen. One of them is bigger than the other one. So there's all these other cues that were sort of missed by the thumbnails that were surfacing in the Bad Signal.
Yes.
And of course, it works for, you know, all my taskbar buttons. So if I go here, I get my Explorer previews or my Internet preview as well.
So this is like really cool, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of presents a preview
mm-hmm.
of the window.
Yes.
But it's still, you need to actually explore the two different mm-hmm. thumbnails on the taskbar.
Yes.
For that.
There is no, in this prototype, there is definitely no concept of grouped thumbnails that we have in the later versions of the Windows 7 taskbar. Yeah.
Right. So it's solved part of the problem.
Yes, we definitely, yeah. So the big part of the process was iterative prototyping. So we'd take little problems, do prototypes, and see if they actually worked,
mm-hmm.
and then take other problems and do prototypes, see if they worked, and so on and so forth. And we would improve and get new ideas and add them in, and kind of that's sort of how the process went. So, you know, for instance, one thing that we did with this prototype is, because it's real code, basically we rolled it out in the Windows team and we said, you know, anybody that's interested, please run this prototype and send us your feedback. The interesting thing is, you know, while this is a pretty good demo, you know, it's pretty visually appealing, you know, it makes a lot of sense when I'm demoing it. Actually, when we found when you use this in your day-to-day experience, sometimes it can be a little bit jarring. So we found that, you know, the previews are really powerful if I actually want to switch to this window. But sometimes, you know, when I'm just working, I'm typing an email or I'm using the keyboard, my mouse, I might just slam my mouse to the bottom of the screen. And all of a sudden this huge Bad Signal preview would appear, whereas my intent was not actually to switch to a window. So I'd be like, oh, what just happened? You know, I'm just typing my email and then all of a sudden this crazy thing happens. So we found out that oftentimes a lot of people are not aware of where their mouse is, you know, when they're not using it, especially mm-hmm. when they're typing. And it could be very distracting if we triggered this full screen mode when people don't want it. Another problem that we had is it has to do with button groups, or gloms is what we call them. So sometimes when you have a lot of taskbar buttons, they roll up into a single button. So I'm going to try to create a situation here. And the Bad Signal prototype doesn't really help in that situation. So let me open a couple of windows. I'll try to resize them to give, you know, somewhat realistic experience here. Well, I've got a bunch of different IE windows here, and actually when I was opening those IE windows, my Explorer windows in the left here rolled up into a single button because there was not enough space on the taskbar. Now when I move my mouse over this button here, you get a pretty interesting visual effect, because we show all of the windows at once, right? And they're all radiating from that single button. However, it's in terms of user value, it's not that valuable, because I can see a very clear picture of my my picture folder here.
Yes.
But my other folder here is still obscured by the window in front of it. Mm-hmm. So we're not really helping you to, you know, if I want to switch to this window on the right here, we're not really helping you to figure out what's in that window, right?
Yes.
And the more windows you have that are rolled up in a single button, the more obvious that problem gets.
Obviously.
Yeah.
So looks is not just the most important thing. right? It also needs
exactly.
to have some functionality.
Yes.
Well, yeah, definitely functionality is first and foremost, always, I think. And yeah, we don't even think about look and feel or visuals and animation until we really feel confident that we have actually nailed the functionality. Because if it's pretty and doesn't lurk, you know, doesn't work right, it's, you know, I don't think the user is going to be very happy about that.
I agree, but it's a very cool demo.
Yeah,
show.
Yeah,
very
thanks. Cool. So, yeah, and just to step back to the Windows 7 taskbar, let me show you a screenshot of it. You know, this is the Windows 7 taskbar that, that probably everybody has seen. So, you know, and you'll see that we did take some of the ideas of the bat signal prototype, but we adjusted them. So you'll see in the Windows 7 taskbar that we show icons on the bottom level of the taskbar. Then we show thumbnails on the secondary level when I move my mouse on an icon. And we explicitly made those thumbnails, they're, you know, a little bit bigger than Vista, but they're not as big as the bat signal preview. So they're always kind of on the bottom edge of your screen. So even if I have an accidental trigger of those thumbnails, it's not going to be as jarring that my entire screen kind of changes, because it's pretty localized in that specific area. And then when I move my mouse over the thumbnails, we give you the bat signal preview in essence, which is arrow peak. And it shows the full window in the right position at the right size. But because we have moved the trigger for that action to this in a pretty secondary level, we're pretty confident that, you know, whenever the user triggers this state, this is actually what they want, and we're actually helping them. So there is no more kind of unpleasant surprises. So definitely a big kind of learning point here, I guess, was, you know, we figured there's all these kind of window cues that help you switch to the right window, such as icons, text, thumbnails, and real windows. And we think that kind of in the final Windows 7 taskbar, we would surface all of those cues, and we think that we've put them all in the right place. You know, we've put the icons on the top level because there's not a lot of space there. You know, if we put text there, it gets clipped quite a bit, doesn't mm-hmm. become very useful. On the secondary level, we give you thumbnails and we give you text as well, because there's, you know, more space to actually show meaningful text. You'll see in this picture that, you know, libraries and wallpaper are actually not clipped, right? You can actually fully read them. Yeah, whereas if you look at the Vista taskbar below, you'll see that most of my buttons actually are truncated yes. with the ellipses. So we show text where there's space for it, and then even if the user even needs more information to switch to the right window, we show the real, you know, the full-size window preview right here.
Yep, that's very cool. So basically, the bat gave an idea of the preview, but mm-hmm. we need to somehow stitch in the functionality, so the user has to be proactive in trying to figure or help him figure out where he wants to go.
Yes, exactly.
Cool.
Exactly. Yep.
Very nice.
So let me close this up. Another prototype that I wanted to show you guys has to do with Color Hot Track. So everybody has probably seen it in some of the prototypes or some of the videos, PDC videos and the builds, etc. You know, we, like I said before, we spent a lot of time just thinking about kind of the interaction mechanics and the interaction model of the taskbar. Mm-hmm. But we, you know, after we had been in this process for a while, we explicitly made an effort as well to make, to kind of focus on the emotional connection, for lack of a better word. So we really wanted to have a very clear visual and animation language for the taskbar, because we think, you know, kind of the modern software experience doesn't end at just delivering the functionality.
Right.
We want people to feel good about, you know, using the computer. You know, we don't think it's far-fetched to say that, you know, if you're using your computer for X hours a day, you actually develop a little bit of a personal relationship with your computer.
You
right?
give it a name.
Yeah, exactly.
You hit it from time to time.
I yes. agree. Yes. And we wanted to be deliberate about, you know, that personality. We call it personality. And by personality, we mean basically, you know, a very deliberate visuals and animation language. And then with an explicit focus, you know, we try to focus explicitly on, you know, very thoughtful details and maybe even pleasant surprises that we surface. So the next prototypes that I have are kind of in the vein of that area there. They're not hardcore functionality, but they're more about personality.
Cool.
So color hot track, so I'll show you this prototype
so
here.
So I'm not sure that everybody knows exactly what color hot tracks. They might have seen it, but they've missed the name.
Mm-hmm. So color hot track is the effect when I move my mouse cursor over a taskbar button, there's a glow that appears that actually kind of follows my mouse around, and it picks up on the icon color of a specific icon.
Cool.
I can show you in this prototype here. So this is the first prototype that we did for color hot track. And as you can see, you know, all of the basic ideas are there. I get a glow when I move my mouse over the taskbar button. And you know, the yellow icon generates a yellow glow. And the I think bat signal just kicked
signal,
in.
Let me,
I need to turn off bat signal. This is how you can tell it's a prototype.
Yes.
Right. So the basic functionality is there, you know, it follows my mouse around, it picks up on the icon color. But kind of what we did after we had this prototype is there's a pretty deliberate process of validation as well. So we would involve usability throughout the process to make sure that some of these prototypes that we're doing are actually on track with some of the ideas that we have, are delivering on some of the goals that we have. So and we did that with this prototype as well. So we thought, you know, that's a pretty cool idea. It's all about kind of glass and light. It's all about making the operating systems about the applications, you know, and making them really shine, you know, us providing a stage for them to be really in the spotlight. But are some of those ideas, you know, some of those pleasant surprises and details actually conveyed to the user when they use them? So I'll show you a video of one usability participant that came into our usability labs and actually used a whole bunch of prototypes, including the one that I just showed you. And you might have seen this video before in Sam Moreau's PDC talk.
That looks kind of funny. Ooh, it changes color. The light changes color. That is really cool. That's fun. I like that.
Yes. So, you know, as you can see in this video, clearly there's something there in this idea. Like the usability participant is actually reacting in a pretty positive way to the prototypes, you know. So, of course, we're very happy. We're like, yes, you know, this is good. We'll probably keep this idea around, right?
So she's giggling.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
I guess you guys in the back door were doing backflip somersaults.
Yes, exactly. So the... you know, and of course, we showed other prototypes as well where we didn't get as favorable of a reaction, and we actually decided not to use some of those ideas in the final product. So yes. It's a kind of a vetting process to see what really works and what doesn't work and what needs to be tweaked.
Yep, makes sense.
So, you know, we're like, okay, this color hot track idea, you know, it fits really with our idea of or the story that we want to tell about Windows with some of the concepts we're trying to convey, and it really hit a good spot with the users. So now let's try to refine it. So we kind of go in the next stage of the process. And I'll show you another prototype of that kind of more detailed design stage of the process. As you can see, you know, this prototype is fairly similar to the previous one, but now it's a little bit more elaborate. So here, the goal of this prototype is really to kind of fine-tune all the parameters of the glow to get them exactly right, so to get exactly the right glow that we want. So one of the things that we do in the prototype is provide the ability to change wallpapers, just so we can see the glow on different backgrounds. So let me pick this one. You'll see some details about, you know, the exact gradient values of that glow. And you'll see a bunch of boxes here of parameters of the glow that I can actually change. So, you know, let's use the default ones first. When I move my mouse over here, you can see the glow is pretty small. It's kind of bottom aligned. And there's a light effect that curves along the edges of the glass tiles, which is a pretty deliberate effect because we wanted to get a realistic interaction of glass and light. That's what we were aiming for. So when I change some of these parameters, so one thing here, the refraction factor, let me change that a little bit. So this controls kind of how much light curves along the edges. And I kind of made it a lot bigger. And you'll see now I got a pretty different visual impression when I move my mouse over. The main glow is still pretty small and bottom aligned, but the edges now light up very much more brighter. Also, we could change the position of the glow, right? Maybe we want it centered instead of bottom aligned. Sort of feels...
still like a small flashlight, doesn't...
Yeah, exactly.
Doesn't really bring the personality of that icon.
Exactly. We want it to feel more like the button sort of lights up as I move into it. This feels more like I'm shining a little light with my cursor, so that's not exactly what we wanted. So in the end, we're probably closer to these values here, where the glow is a little bit bigger. The refraction is still the same size, and the offset we changed to this. And you'll see this is much sort of closer to the final visual effect that we actually have in Windows. Now, one thing you'll notice is this prototype is not completely accurate because the glow doesn't change color for the different icons. And that's just a way to kind of be more efficient in prototyping, I guess. You know, we generally just try to cut some corners here and there for non-essential parts of the prototype. You know, we had already proven that the color effect was what we wanted, so we didn't spend any more time on kind of refining that.
Right.
And it's easier to build a prototype that doesn't actually change color. So that's the reason for that. And then, you know, of course, I can see those glows on lighter and darker wallpapers to see if it actually makes sense in all those different scenarios.
So this is a very cool prototype
mm-hmm.
that shows the glow effect. I've noticed that within this prototype we actually have the little split button, right?
Mm-hmm.
This little,
mm-hmm.
this little guy.
Yep.
But it's in the latest builds,
mm-hmm.
it's gone,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yep.
So what happened to the split button?
Yeah, that's a really interesting story actually, because the split button is, let me show you a picture. I'll show you a picture of the split button here. So the split button was used in some of our earlier builds to bring up the jump list. And we had this for the longest time, actually.
Just a little pause, the mm-hmm. jump list?
Yes. The jump list is the kind of the list of per application of recent or frequent files, destinations is what we call them. So maybe websites or Word documents or things like that that I use very frequently and I would like to go to. And each application on the new taskbar has its own jump list. It keeps track of what you do so that it's much easier for the user to actually get back to the things that they do frequently, that they do all the time.
Cool.
So, definitely in our earlier iterations, for the longest time, we had a split button to if you would click that split button, the jump list would appear. We had this in our builds, and of course, the Windows team is using those builds. Broader Microsoft is using some of those builds, and we're also testing it with our families in our kind of longitudinal usability studies as well. And Trish can tell you much more details about that. We got a bunch of feedback about that split button. One piece of feedback that we got is that sometimes it got in the way of actually switching to the right window, because I would think I would be over the main button right here, and I would think my thumbnails would come up, but because I'm a sloppy mouse user I'm just not very accurate because I'm just doing things very fast. My mouse might actually be on the split button, and then if I clicked, I would get the jump list and not my window thumbnails, and so the wrong action would occur. I would have to close the jump list and then open the thumbnails again. So we found it just gets in the way of the most important task of the taskbar, which is switching to the right window. Another piece of feedback that we got is it was confusing to many users what the difference between the jump list was and the context menu. Let me show you a context menu. So much like we have here in the Vista taskbar, in those Windows builds, we had a context menu on each of the taskbar buttons. And it has certain window commands, like restore and close and those kind of things. Now, it was not clear to many users what the difference is between the context menu that you see here and the jump list that you see to the left of it. So some users asked us, why is the ability to launch a new Internet Explorer not listed in the context menu? It's only listed in the jump list. And we didn't really have a good answer for it. You know, it was kind of a fuzzy boundary. Why is this one menu has certain commands and this other menu has other commands?
So basically what we would expect or what user expect was to have just one menu at the end of the day.
Yes.
And not two different distinct menus for two different completely functional
functionality. Our users did not understand why there were two menus. They just wanted all the stuff in one menu.
Makes sense.
And then the third thing that we realized is with all these split buttons, switch back to this view here, we actually ran into a space issue because the split buttons actually take up quite a bit of space on the taskbar. And we found that people actually like to pin a lot of their applications to the taskbar more than we actually had expected. So people would run out of space pretty quickly because there is all this space for all these split buttons on the taskbar, and it just wouldn't allow them to pin all of the applications that they wanted. So that's kind of the third drawback that we saw of the split button. So in the end, you know, for all of those different reasons, accidental triggers, confusion between the menus, and the space space crunch, we decided to remove the split buttons and simply invoke the jump list on right click. So it doesn't take up any real estate. We merged the context menus and the jump list together. And so that's kind of the way that we solve those issues. Now, one kind of drawback of that solution is the decreased discoverability. Because in the split button world, you know, when I move my mouse over this control here, I clearly see a triangle. So it's pretty obvious to me that there's a piece of functionality there that I can use. Now, in the right-click world, that is much less obvious, right? Because I don't see anything until I actually right-click.
Right.
And again, Trish or Shatanya can tell you all the details about all the numbers of discoverability and how many people right-click and all those different measurements that we did. But the short story is, you know, we are taking a little bit of a hit in discoverability, so the discoverability is not as good as it was with the split button. But we do think the overall kind of usability of the system is just increased tremendously. So we're trading off the discoverability for just better usability overall.
Right.
And it sort of goes back to, again, to Sam Moreau's PDC talk where he talks about some of the design principles. Mm-hmm. One of our design principles is actually to, we call it solve distractions and not discoverability. You know, you might categorize that as a distraction. So
once you discover the functionality,
once you know it's there, you don't need to always be reminded. You know, I'm here. No, we chose to just try to solve the discoverability in a different way, but just by talking about it. And we know a lot of people actually do right click to explore the system. So we really wanted to solve the distractions and not the discoverability because we think the end, the final user experience after I'm using Windows for a week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, a month, a year, it's just going to be so much better.
Thank you, Stefan, for walking us through all the different prototypes of Windows 7 Taskbar and the design iteration and the design decision that we've made along the way.
Mm-hmm.
Just a reminder to everyone, this is still a work in progress, so we might have some tweaks and changes when Windows 7 actually ships. Next week, we're going to have Ben and Rob come in and talk to us about how we can actually program to the Windows 7 taskbar and see how can developer explore and use all the functionality that we have seen in the previous two videos. Thank you very much. I hope you enjoyed it. Again, thank you, Stefan.
Yeah, thank you.
Cool. Thanks.